This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick here with my colleague Noah Adams. Noah, you've brought the story of an actor who wrote and is now performing her play in New York and not far from Broadway.
It's off Broadway. Alex, a year ago, last summer, I got to see Anne Randolph doing 10 minutes of this play. She was doing a monologue at a music festival. It was great fun. At that time, they said that Mel Brooks and his wife, Anne Bancroft, had seen the play in Los Angeles. They were trying to help her take it to New York. And I thought, well, sure, but it's been up in lights in New York. It's gotten good reviews. It's called Squeezebox.
This is a comedy?
A comedy about a very serious subject. She plays lots of characters, mostly herself. She worked for years on the graveyard shift at a homeless shelter for mentally ill women.
I work a job that nobody wants. When I want a day off, there's nobody that'll cover for me, so I don't take days off. If I quit tomorrow, I could probably get my job back the following day.
Anne Randolph was making $8.65 an hour, and she did that for 10 years while she was writing.
This is my bed, a little rollaway with pea-stained sheets. That doesn't bother me. I can sleep anywhere and on anything. But waking up here, well, that's a different story.
And Alex will have part of that story. I talk with Anne for Day to Day, and we'll include some of her performance in this interview. Anne Randolph, I have this question for you. When you were doing this play in Los Angeles,
yes,
did you ever look out in the audience and see somebody who had been in the shelter, or worry that you would see somebody who had been in the shelter?
Well, yes, I did see somebody who was still in the shelter at the time that I was working in the shelter, and they read about it in the LA Weekly, and they came and they sat in the front row. And this particular client is what we call them. That's such a strange word, but she is one of the ones in the play that used to bang on my window. I sleep at the shelter, and she used to bang on the window to wake me up every morning and make faces at me. And she was sitting in the front row, and she saw herself in that description, even though that wasn't the character I was playing. It was something that she did repeatedly every morning.
Oh,
she would make faces at me to wake me up in the morning.
That's not Brandy, is it?
It's Brandy, yeah, but Brandy's a composite. All the characters are composites, but I take like little snippets of reality from the shelter, and this one was a one right there.
Did it bother you to have her there?
It did, because I felt in this show I show vulnerability and some of my weaknesses as being a counselor at a shelter. And I think for them, they're looking at their counselor to be like a pillar of strength and somebody to guide them. And if you're showing that you're having difficulty in your role, it doesn't make for the greatest role model for them. They hooted and hollered during the whole thing, and they absolutely loved it.
You were doing the play in Los Angeles while you were still living and working at the shelter.
That's correct. I would do the play. The play was over at 9:30, and then I would have to bolt to the shelter to do the graveyard shift. Even on the night that Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft came, I didn't even get to finish the second act because I had to go run to the shelter because somebody didn't show up. So they saw not the whole piece.
Mel Brooks and his wife, Anne Bancroft, came, saw the play, and that's why you're now in New York, essentially.
Yes, yes. It's like a dream come true. It was unbelievable. I mean, they're sitting in the audience. At the time, well, I knew they were coming because my own home phone line was a reservation line. I could only afford to produce a show once every 6 weeks, and so my home phone line was the box office line. So they called in saying Mel Brooks party of four, and I freaked out. So I knew they were coming, but they didn't know that that was my home phone line when they made a reservation.
One of your characters is Irene, who is from Williamson, West Virginia, and
yes.
she doesn't think she's homeless. She says she is residentially challenged. Somebody like her at the shelter?
I got that story from several people that told me that they lived in self-storage units. And with Irene, she's lived there because literally she took that sign, literally, self-storage.
There it was in big, bold, blinking letters. A1, self-storage, $59 a month. God, couldn't have given me a better sign. Self-storage just hit me over the head, self-storage. So at night I would crawl up there with my belongings. One night I didn't get to the storage in time. And they got them big dogs, and they just ripped into my leg, and I had to go to the hospital for stitches. And I was hurting real bad. But what hurt worse was when the nurse said, "Would you like us to contact your family?" And I just broke down crying. It makes me cry now thinking about it. I must have done some real wrong to have this many bad things happen to me. And the worst part is, I lost my faith. The only thing I ever had. The only thing that's ever kept me going, and now it's gone, and I don't know how to get it back. And when we were done with the interview, I went in the staff bathroom and I cried. I cried because I couldn't give her an answer. How could I when I realized I was dealing with the same question? My friend Shoshana would say, "And meditation is the key. Meditation is the answer. Change my life." Of course, everything changes Shoshana's life. She'll go see a movie and she'll call me up afterwards and she'll say, "Hey, Ann, guess what? I just saw Seabiscuit. Change my life."
Ann Randolph, do you think that almost anybody in any kind of job could, if they were so inclined, put together a one-person show about their work situation? Had they been doing it for 10 years, they could do that, do you think?
I think everybody's got a pretty amazing story to tell. If you just crack a little, you know, get underneath the surface, I think everybody could tell an amazing story about their job. I mean, I've had tons of jobs. I worked right after college, my parents gave me a one-way ticket to Alaska. I worked the slime line, sliming fish guts for 4 months.
That's the entry-level Alaska job, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I heard you can make 20 grand sliming fish, and then my big goal was to move to New York City and, become an actress. It didn't work that way. I got fired on the slime line right away.
How'd you do that?
I wore high-heeled pink fashion boots, and the water got down in my boots, and I got hypothermia on the cannery floor, and I woke up with, like, 12 burly men around me, and I had a thermometer in my butt. And so that was very, very embarrassing. So eventually they just couldn't find a place for me, and they fired me, and then the Exxon Valdez crashed, was like, oh, my God, that was... It was awful, but for people living up there, it was like boomtown. And so I cleaned oily rocks for 16 hours a day, and I was the only woman, and with cheerleader pom-poms, crude oil, getting oil all over me. In fact, you had to take decontamination showers every night.
Right.
But I was able to save all the money from that and build my first outdoor theater in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Ann Randolph, talking with us from New York. Her one-woman play is called... Do you like that phrase, one-woman play?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. It's called Squeeze Box. It's at the Acorn Theater in New York. Thank you, Ms. Randolph.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noah Adams, for introducing us to Ms. Randolph.
You're welcome, Alex.